hypothetical match board.
Overlooking Phoenix. From high above in the Star Worldwide Network studios. Badge Boys. Stories, insight, guests, and true blue humor with retired police sergeant Darren Burge and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Brought to you by OfficerPrivacy.com, the company's officers trust with their online privacy. And now, here they are, the Badge Boys.
Welcome back to another edition of the Badge Boys, a show where two retired cops talk to the community. I'm retired Crime Stopper Sergeant Darren Burge.
I'm retired Phoenix Police Officer Jason Schechterly.
And we have an exciting show for you, a very relevant, important show, because our guest is retired Lieutenant Pete James with the Sacramento Sheriff's Department. 25-year stellar career. The end cap of that career was in forensic computers, dealing with, as a subject matter expert, dealing with all things computers. He's retired and now has a business. It's called OfficerPrivacy.com. It keeps police officers safe, getting your personal information, because there's no more important time than now with the doxing and the anti-police. So very important episode. It's also going to provide some do's and don'ts, so please stick around for that. Then in Cop Talk, we're going to talk about the Capitol insurrection, rioters hijacking, horrible human beings hijacking this protest. There are some things that they keep hearing about double standards. Yeah, we're going to be talking about the media's double standards. And then in the last segment, we're going to have a very unusual Dom de Blasio kudos report. Yeah, this may really fire up Jason.
You already made my day.
And then Jason's heroic headlines is always, always inspirational close. So stay tuned, stay informed, and most of all, you're going to be entertained.
More stories, inside guests, and true blue humor coming up on Badge Boys. We'll be back right after this.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Move over, AZ. Arizona's move over law requires you to move over or slow down when you drive past any vehicle pulled over with flashing lights. Remember, every vehicle, every time. Move over, AZ.
Sponsored by ADA in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Badge Boys with retired police sergeant Darren Burge and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Now, back to the Badge Boys.
Jason, I am so excited to introduce this next guest. I met him on the LinkedIn, and I don't know if you know, Jason, I had a death threat, but it was past that. It was actually a mob contract hit when I was in.
I actually did not know that until this week, Darren.
Yeah, and so when I saw this on LinkedIn, it was called OfficerPrivacy.com, and I thought, what a great guest, especially now with all this doxing, which is a new term. That there may be retired cops that don't even know what I'm talking about when I use the word doxing.
Yeah.
And that's people going in and finding your information as a police officer and then exposing it to the world.
Putting it out there,
internet.
Yeah.
And soliciting people to hurt you, harm you, threaten you, intimidate you. And so when I saw this, I called and got involved because I wanted this service, and I have since got this service. I think any retired police officer, because you're not protected.
Right.
There are laws that supposedly protect you. Well, yeah, they can go after the bad guy, but it doesn't protect you on the front end.
Right.
But retirees, we're not part of that law. So anyways, long story short, we connected, and he is now a proud sponsor of Badge Boys because we just love him, and he loved our show. So we are so glad to introduce retired Lieutenant Pete James with the Sacramento Sheriff's Department. 25-year career, as I said in the opener, the end cap, a decade of forensic investigations, both at the end of his career as well as when he left. He was working for some big businesses, and he put that all away, invested his own money to create OfficerPrivacy.com to help police officers, specifically their families, but it helps everyone. So without further ado, I want to welcome Lieutenant James to the show. Lieutenant James, and is our sponsor. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. This is incredible.
Hey, dude, he brought in monogram coffee cups. I mean, come on.
Is that classy or what?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So thanks for that, dude.
But
we love it.
Your career, again, it spanned 25 years. You, as a deputy, you worked patrol. As a sergeant, you were involved in lots of things, but would you say that you're most proud of your work, your NCAP career, that 10-year investigations as a subject matter expert in forensic investigations dealing with computers and phones?
Yeah, well, first, thanks for having me.
Oh.
And I had a great career with the Sacramento Sheriff's Department. I did 25 years with them, and toward the end, I started focusing on online investigations and digital forensics.
Now, and that's it, from someone like me who's, I use crayons to write with. So when I think of computers, I can't wrap my head around what it takes to do this. You're a smart guy. You also were in the military and in military intelligence.
Correct.
Can you talk a little bit about that before we even go into this?
Yeah, so I was in the Navy, and I did intel, and I lived on an aircraft carrier for a couple of years, and wow. It was a good time.
And wow. Then you become a cop, you're a sheriff in Sacramento, very difficult place to work, California, and again, the NCAP career, your focus, were you a computer kind of guy that became a cop, or did you kind of, through the investigations, decide you need to learn that world?
I was one of the last people on the block to get the internet way back in the late 90s. But there was a need for these investigations to be done. And I had a great boss at the time. And I went to him and said, hey, can I start taking these classes and start learning forensics? And he's like, yeah. So
while you're doing these investigations, can you kind of talk a little bit about those investigations? Was it kiddie crimes on the internet? Was it organized crime? You kind of talk a little bit about what kind of crimes that you would help and assist in as a forensic expert.
So in forensics, you're basically trying to figure out what that user was doing on that computer or with their phone. And so, we use different artifacts and different evidence in there to say, okay, were they involved in this or were they not? And sometimes most of the time, of course, they did it, but sometimes they didn't. And that's just as important to find out.
And a lot of people, especially in the early days, I think people kind of, even I know now, that when you delete something, it's not really deleted. So when we had like homicides and rapes and child crimes, we always took people's phones. It didn't matter if they had deleted something. It's still there. Can you talk to that?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I did a blog post a while ago about those programs where they purposely delete and overwrite information like, CCleaner or Eraser, or all these programs that do this. And while it gets rid of the information, there are still evidence that shows that that program was run. So you can, the original file may not be there, but you can be able to say, or may be able to say, that the file at one time did exist. And sometimes you can still figure out the actual file name. So the file's not there, but you can see the file name.
Yeah, they are stupid enough to name it something,
correct.
Suggestive, then boom, you got at least that.
Yeah.
And a lot of our criminals aren't even smart enough to have those programs.
Right.
Now, at the end of your career, you retire, you work for some private firms, you're doing well. What was the transition to say, I think I'm going to go all in on helping officers, protect officers. What was the catalyst for that?
25 years in law enforcement, I have a love for the profession and a love for the men and women who take on this tough job. And, I'm sitting there going, these guys are at risk. And what can I do to help? And with the sites, I know we'll end up talking about them, but, these sites are exposing officers' home addresses, their email accounts, their date of births, their phone numbers, all these things. It's risky. It's dangerous to have that information out there on the internet for anybody to find. And I just thought, I got to help. I got to do something.
I love it. As cops, when we retire, we still want to help. I mean, badge boys was our focus.
Yeah, it's nonstop. I teach at the academy still, and I love to see the doe-eyed newbies. But explaining to them and just knowing they already realize it's not a 40-hour week job. It's who you are, and it's who you will be for the rest of your life.
And talk about that life, officers literally risk their lives. They put their lives on in jeopardy every single day. One officer don't realize you're also doing that when you're on the internet and you're putting out information. And we're having headline after headline. Well, I'm going to be talking about some of those headlines specifically. But How much information do you find on the internet, Lieutenant, in regards to officers' phone numbers, their addresses? How easy is it for somebody who has very little experience on the internet to find that information out?
Extremely easy. Extremely easy. All you do is put your name and the city you live in a Google search, and you'll see dozens of sites that are going to show your home address, the names of your relatives, your phone numbers, your email addresses, the names, all this information, all out there, free. No, you don't have to pay any money to get it.
When, and I alluded to this earlier to Jason regarding there was a contract, a hit on my life through some mobsters in New Jersey. It was a sex crime where me and Scottsdale detective arrested this guy. He was a sexual predator. He had been raping and almost murdering some women. And bam, we arrest him. And I showed up in court to testify on the day. So we, based on all you cops out there, you know what I'm saying. This is down the road, obviously, from the arrest. And I see these huge bodyguards next to the prosecuting attorney, next to the Scottsdale detective, and little me, you know, I'm the smallest guy always in the room. I have nobody. I didn't even know there was a contract, a hit for our lives to kill us, hoping to stop us from testifying. And the reason I bring this up is because I had to go through this painstaking, oh my gosh, it lasted probably a solid week, where I went through one organized crime bureau after another to get my name off of my voter registration, the MVD. Not all cops can do that. If you work in a certain specialty detail, that happens. My point being, though, is after that was all done and I can't even, I have to vote by mail-in. I can't go to a location because I'm not listed anywhere. I Google my name, and not only does it show information about me, there's a button, you push it and gives you the directions to my home.
Awesome.
How scary is that?
Wow.
How do you stop that from happening?
Yeah, so what Officer Privacy does is when a client signs up, we remove their information from the top 30 people search sites. So they're not there.
And those top 30 search sites, talk a little bit about that. How do they find that? Just Googling, how's that become a search site and what ones do you pick out?
So, yeah, if you want to do this on yourself, which you should, you just put your name in Google, put quotes around your name, and then put the name of the city you live in and the word address. Put those things in there, and you're going to come up on all these sites. These are sites like whitepages.com, Spokio, Been Verified, Intellius. All these sites are going to list your home address. And what we do is when you sign up, I assign your case to one of my staff members. All of my staff members are current or former law enforcement officers based here in the U.S., and we remove your information from those sites, and after that, we monitor. So we monitor those sites. So if you show up again, we remove you again.
And the monitoring has to occur, and the monthly, if you will, service makes complete sense because the internet is always evolving. When you put in an application to buy a car, you put in information, all these things are then can be obtained on the internet. So it's an ongoing process. Am I right?
It is. What we find is most of our clients will end up being repopulated on 2 to 3 sites every 3 months. So our monitoring is twofold. One is technical, where we scan the back end of the sites and we look for a connection between your name and your address. The other is where we manually go to each and every site every 3 months, each and every site, and make certain that you're not there. If you are, we remove you again.
LT, how do these organizations like Been Verified, Spokio, My Life, whatever, they aren't just out there randomly looking for cops. Somebody is selling them the information. And the first thing I think of is, you know, I'm not a big, between the pandemic, between my appearance, whatever, as you can imagine, Amazon is a great thing. So I order something off Amazon. They have my home address. They deliver something to me. Are they turning around and selling my info? Because I know, like, Facebook and everybody who has listened to the show in the past, I have been been very clear that Mark Zuckerberg is the most dangerous person in the country right now. My hatred for him is unchartable.
Even surpasses
I know
Tom
how
de Blasio.
I would wash de Blasio's feet before I even shook Zuckerberg's hand.
Wow.
That guy is a dangerous, evil individual.
That's a high bar.
But I know Facebook makes money by selling your information. Is even something like ordering something off Amazon, is that how you, and I'm not picking on Amazon, I'm saying, is that how easy it is nowadays? If I just buy something on the internet, all these companies are going to be able to have access to my home address?
So it's a whole industry. You sign up for a rewards card at the supermarket. You sign up for a card at the casino. You get a magazine delivered to your house. You sign up for, you want to get a travel brochure for a cruise, and you have that sent to your home. Everything, every place you have a delivery from Home Depot, you give the delivery guys your home address. That's going to get all ingested in the industry, in the data broker industry, and it's constantly recycling and updating, which is why you end up getting back on those sites. But yes, all of those companies work together. Every single time you click those terms and conditions on a site where you're putting your information in, it's all getting added to the big data set out there. And these guys are really smart. They're really, really good at identifying and connecting all the pieces together. And then from there, they sell it to these people search sites, which then put it on the internet without your permission. I mean, you never gave them permission to post your private information on these sites. And they make money off this, right? They're making money.
That's so scary.
Because when you search for someone and you go to that site, number one, they want to send you, they want to sell you an updated package to get even more information. But number two, they have ads on their sites. So they're making money with our information, with our private personal information.
Someone once said that internet is not free. If you're on the internet and you're on some type of site and it's free and you're getting this product, you are the product, your information. And that's the purpose. It's all about advertising. I want to talk about docs. Again, it's a phrase that, man, I never heard of when I was in my career, but it's huge now. It is the search and publish private or identifying information about a particular individual, many times cops, on the internet, typically with the malicious intent. Quote, hackers and online vigilantes routinely dox both public and private figures. Here are some of the headlines of people that might dox you. This one out of NYPD, MS-13, planning to target off-duty cops at their homes. Protesters target home of Meridian officer who made playground arrests. So some probably gangbanger at a playground. Then you got personal information of high-ranking cops leaked online by feds. 38 police officers have been doxed during protests in Portland, DHS says, Department of Homeland Services. 7 in death, Buffalo police dealing with issues of internet doxing from CBS. Protesters demonstrate outside alleged home of LASD deputy who was shot. And it goes on and on. 3 protesters tracked officers to their homes through Molotov cocktails at police cars, authorities say. And then this one that just horrific. It was so horrific. Shooters opened fire on a home of New Jersey police officers. It's a couple, both police officers and their 1-year-old child. It was a targeted attack. At least one gunman attacked the home of 2 Camden County, New Jersey police officers and their 10-day-old infant, and what police chief has since labeled as a targeted attack. These things are happening, and there's no better time for the business you've created. And yet, this is really a public service, because you even have like a do's and don'ts booklet, an e-booklet that you provide when people kind of go to your site, which is officerprivacy.com. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I wrote a 36-page e-book. It talks all about online privacy and the things you can do to secure your accounts. It's available at officerprivacy.com/ebook. It's free.
And you talked a little bit before the show about there's like the 3 main steps you talked about. Can you kind of talk about those? Because again, it's 36 pages of true information. This isn't just some type of advertisement for your business talking about, you know, the beautiful location. And it's really talking about the do's and don'ts. There's three that you told me about that really clicked with me.
Sure. There are three things that every officer should do. The first is do a risk assessment on yourself. Figure out what is publicly available by, you know, starting with a Google search. Like I said, put your name in quotes and the city you live in. And, you know, you'll see what information is out there. Check the social media sites. See what is out there. See what you can figure out. Couple things you may notice when, and if you can identify this, it's not good. Number one, these sites list your relatives. And what I would do if I were a hacker or a stalker or a protester is I would try and identify your spouse and your mother. I'd identify your spouse because most officers are a little more private than their spouses. And their spouses are the ones who are posting more, as well as their kids. So you start with just a name and a city. You identify the spouse. Now you can figure out, well, where are they posting? Where are they eating dinner? Where are their kids going to school? So now you definitely know the city where they live in.
Intelligence gathering.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I mentioned, what if you're going to identify the mother? That comes into play when, if you have the name of your mother, you can figure out your mother's maiden name. And what is a common security question when you set up an account?
Common.
Your mother's maiden name.
Yeah.
Yeah. So start with a risk assessment. Do search yourself like a hacker would or like a criminal would. The second thing is use two-factor authentication on every single online account that you have. Have you ever gotten like a text message when you're logging into an account and it has a special a one-time, you know, six-digit password? That's two-factor authentication, and you want to set that up on every single online account you have. So if somebody, even if somebody does have your email address and your password, they won't be able to get into your account unless they have that extra password. And getting your email address and password can be very easy. Number one, these sites expose your email accounts, your email addresses. So now I have one half of what it takes to log into your account. To get your password, we've all heard of these breaches, right? These data breaches.
Huge.
Okay, what is being breached and what is being exposed are your passwords. So I go to the People Search site, I get your email address. I go to a data breach site, I get your password. Now I can log into your account. But if you have two-factor authentication set up, I won't be able to log in unless I have that extra password.
And most of us have a password that we like to use. We add the number one after it, and we recycle it over and over. So even if it's an old breach, it's really still relevant information, isn't it?
Correct. And then the third thing I think that every single officer should do is have one email account for your more sensitive accounts, financial, retirement, you know, banking, the one with your doctor's office, and then have a separate one for everything else. So, you know, you want to get 10% off your next order or your first order at this website, great. Give them that other one, but don't use your main one.
That is such great advice. It really is. Yeah. As far as the business itself, and I'm speaking from knowledge because I'm now a member. I immediately, after our phone call, I just fell in love with what you do because it's from the heart, and that's huge. But someone out there listening, if they wanted to learn more, how's it work in terms of the monthly? What do you do specifically? And is it 100% safe? And you're completely taken off the internet?
Yeah. So in today's world, you know, nobody can make you invisible. Okay. Nobody can do that. And that's extremely, extremely tough. And you wouldn't want to be invisible anyway, because if you're invisible, you're never going to get credit. So, our goal is to make you more difficult to find, right? We take you off the major sites, and we want to make it challenging and difficult for somebody to try and track you down.
And you do this each month. How's that work? Do they pay a one-year time? Do they pay it each month? How's that work?
There is a one-time fee. initial fee for the removal, and then the monthly monitoring fee as well. And again, we do two types of monitoring, technical and then manual.
And this is officerprivacy.com. And how long have you been in operation?
Oh, several years now. We do have a special deal for listeners of the Badge Voice.
And that is?
officerprivacy.com/badgevoice.
And you gave me this device. Again, as a member, you get this device. Can you talk about that?
Sure. If you sign up at officerprivacy.com/badgevoice, number one, you get first month of monitoring for free. Number two, I'm going to send you, it's called a data blocker. It looks like a thumb drive, but what it does is it connects between your phone and however you're charging it, whether you're plugging it into a rental car or Starbucks or at an airport. And it allows your phone to be charged, but it doesn't allow any data to be transferred. Because I don't know if you know, but when you plug your phone into your car, data is being transferred from your phone to that car, and it stays there forever. Remember, so I did forensics, and we did vehicle forensics. And when we were going through and doing our testing, we would go to the airport, grab a rental car, do forensics on it. So what this device does is it stops any data from being transferred from your phone to wherever it's plugged in, because who knows who's on the other end of that charging station.
And I go back to nothing's for free. So if you go in these places and you're charging your phone for free, they're getting something out of this, and they can sell this data. And this data from your phone that you don't even realize there's a two-way connection. It's not just you getting the charge, but you're actually allowing them to access your information.
Correct. So when you sign up, we send that to you.
That is insane.
I'm curious about something.
Please.
I'm a civilian, right? But I'm also a public figure.
Thank you.
Is there any way that I could sign up for a program like this to protect myself?
Anybody can sign up.
That's awesome. So it's not just LEs, it's normal.
Exactly.
People like me.
His love and his focus to create this was with law enforcement in mind because of the threats. But we've seen doxing actually from, oh my God, the 90s when there was bombings done for the pro-life and so forth. They would be, you know, blowing up, you know, different sites. And I mean, everyone is at risk mm-hmm. with this new reality, where this new doxing, where these agitators, these bad actors want to find information and put it out there. They just thrive on this, knowing that they're doing you harm because there's somebody that is truly horrific that's willing to potentially murder, like sadly, these officers that we've seen.
Yeah, and I wanted to emphasize what LT was just saying about the car, because I did not realize this, and we take it for granted. You know, we hook up to Bluetooth. I travel all over the place, whether rental cars, whatever. But what I realized, and it was just this week, it's interesting that we're talking about this. I traded in a car a year ago, okay? Had OnStar, it was a Chevy. And when I traded in, I deleted, you know, where it says delete this phone. I went through that whole thing. Then I called OnStar, because the vehicle I own now does not have OnStar. I canceled my subscription, so I do not pay for OnStar anymore. And just the other day, I got both an email and a text alert telling me that the tires in that car are low, and it told me exactly where the car is. And I was like, holy shit, why am I getting notified? And how sad for the current owner that I know where, I don't know who, I traded into a dealership. I don't know who bought it, but now I know where it is. So if I wanted to, I could go, what, steal my car back? That's a scary, scary thing that OnStar is doing. And OnStar is a huge organization.
And they don't even mean to be malicious. They don't even have that intent. So somebody that's doxing with that intent can do so much damage if other companies can unintentionally do damage.
So, LT, you might want to add OnStar to your list of companies that you need to take care of.
So, Jason, you bring up a good point. So your data is there. And let's say, okay, there's no issue with OnStar because we trust them. What if a hacker gets in to their network? Then they'll have access to all of that.
And we see these huge breaches. I haven't heard one recently because there's too much other news. You know, you don't only have so much oxygen in a room,
right,
and all the other news is. But there's breaches going constantly. But we've heard about the ones from China and Russia. And these are huge data breaches. And these are from trusted security companies. How prevalent is that?
Oh, it happens all the time.
And
it happens every day.
We
just don't hear it.
And that's, again, your passwords, in essence.
Correct.
I cannot thank you enough for what you do. And I have to say that when I was looking at your profile and when I wanted to have you on as a guest, and I just fell in love with your business, it talks about you being a law enforcement with a passion for the safety and security of those other police professionals. And OfficerPrivacy.com offers this full range of privacy services that removes the police officers' and families' personal information from the internet so that they can feel safe. This is, I can't imagine in today's world not having something like this. I really don't. That which is why I grabbed it, because Jason and I are both, you know, not public figures, but you are, Jason. You're always out
you
there.
You both are.
Yeah.
But any cop who goes on some show or talks to the, you know, you're out there. And then we're seeing this with officers who make arrests at a park, for Christ's sake. They're making arrests, and what do we have on our uniform? What do we have on the arrest information? We have all your information. All they need. Am I overstating this?
No, when you arrest someone and book them at jail, do you leave them with your business card, with your home address on the back of that business card? Of course not. Yet, all that person has to do is go online, and they're going to find your home address.
And again, one more time about the special deal for Badge Boy listeners. It's a great deal. One more time, please.
Yeah, sign up at officerprivacy.com/badgeboys, and you get our highest level service, removal from the top 30 people search sites, and then monitoring, and two special bonuses. One, first month of monitoring free, and also the USB data blocker.
I love that. And again, officerprivacy.com.
It's incredible service, and I'm excited. Robin, thank you for pointing out that anybody can sign up. So for all of you out there, if you are a cop, if you know a cop, if you love a cop, or if you are worried about your safety, this is the service to get. Don't get brought in by other people who are advertising. OfficerPrivacy.com has got it right and will keep us a lot safer. We will be right back with our segment of Cop Talk, so be prepared.
More stories, inside guests, and true blue humor coming up on Badge Boys. We'll be back right after this.
Move over, AZ. Arizona's move over law requires you to move over or slow down when you drive past any vehicle pulled over with flashing lights. Remember, every vehicle, every time. Move over, AZ.
Sponsored by ADOT in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires. They were getting dangerously close to homes.
Helicopters were going out to drop water on the fires.
Guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Badge Boys with retired Police Sergeant Darren Birch and retired Police Officer Jason Schechterly. Now, back to the Badge Boys.
Welcome back to Badge Boys, everybody. Brought to you by OfficerPrivacy.com. And we were honored to have the inventor and owner, Lieutenant Pete James, as our guest. Outstanding segment, Darren. I'm excited for anything that makes you safer, anything that, you know, my motto, leave the day better than you found it. And again,
I just want to reiterate, Lieutenant, while we're here talking about it, it's for everybody.
It's for everybody.
Protect yourself.
Yeah, they are definitely leaving the days better than they found it. They're leaving our lives better, and that always gets me fired up. Something else that's going to get me fired up.
Better watch the volume.
You know, it doesn't work anymore. No, well, not with me it doesn't, but you know, I always struggle with, when we started this show, it was nothing but positivity, right? You remember
100%,
that?
100%.
And we struggle through that.
No politics.
But I struggle every week driving in here that we have to just, by default, we almost have no choice but to talk about the flavor of the day. And every week, there's something, right?
There is.
And every week I go, I can't believe that happened. I can't believe we are talking about George Floyd having his neck leaned on for over 8 minutes. I can't believe we're having this. I can't believe today, I truly can't believe we are going to talk about an assault on our Capitol. The murder of police officer, 5 people in total dead. 1 officer committed suicide the day after. I don't know if you know that.
Yes.
1 Capitol police officer. Another one is still fighting for his life after being tased and drugged down the stairs. People were calling these people patriots. They're supposed to love and be on the side of law enforcement. They've had the moral high ground for the past year, and all of a sudden, it is completely erased in one group of hours on that terrible day last week. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the officers and, of course, the reason behind all of this, which is, and I'm not going to take away from the individuals who did this. It was their choices, and I hope their punishment is incredibly steep. One of the worst is from right here in Arizona.
Yeah.
That freaking idiot wearing the horns and the painted up his chest, and now he's refusing to eat.
Yeah.
Because jail does not serve vegan food. Can you believe that? Jail does not serve vegan food, so I'm just not going to eat. Well, dude, I hope you starve to death. So have at it.
Does bologna count as vegetarian
food? Sheriff Joe Arpaio's green bologna might have, but he's not here anymore. So the media and the politicians are the root cause of this, and you know how I feel about both. And when I say the media, it's the national media. There are a lot of great local reporters and a lot of people who actually still report the news and support just not only law enforcement, but right and wrong. Violence is violence. I don't care who's doing it. And when you're assaulting other people for the simple fact that they do not say what you want them to say, they don't believe what it's the most absurd thing. I don't think I'm overstating that we are truly on the brink of civil war in and I'm almost 50 years old. I've never seen or thought I would ever live in a world or a country like I do today, and it's very scary.
Yeah, I was on a podcast just a couple of days ago as a guest, and the overall arc of that show, the topic, was double standard. Problem is, it wasn't talking about the double standard of the media or the politicians, because hypocrisy is at the height.
Yes, it is.
Is height of history, really is. But what we're talking about is Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick died. He's from a grave injury.
He was
beaten to death,
murdered.
Basically. Yeah, absolutely a murder. It's a murder investigation. And then the suicide of Officer Liebengood. Both these individuals, if you look at their history, on our last show or our last topic, we were talking about Googling and stuff. And when you look at these two individuals, these are really good people. They really were. And then I don't know about the 4 others that died. There was one which was Air Force. Her name is Ashley Babbitt. She's a 35-year-old female with the Air Force. Was she just caught up in this? Because what we see, when we saw it with BLM, Antifa takes over. And what could be a peaceful protest about something that you and I both talked about was the heinous murder of George Floyd at the hands of that officer who should never have been an officer. And we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
That was one collective voice that we all had. But agitators literally hijack a protest. And that's what I believe happened last when we were doing our radio show. It was January 6th.
Yeah. Go back into recess. Get down under your chairs if necessary, so we have folks entering the rotunda and coming down this way. Security here at the United States Capitol has failed.
Get your I'm Brett Baer. A day on Capitol Hill that many thought they'd never see. A mob breaches security, makes it onto the House and Senate floors, and into lawmakers' offices after a rally to, quote, stop the steal, where President Trump spoke. You're looking at live pictures on Capitol Hill, which really descended into chaos a few hours ago, following what is the most significant breach against an American government institution in more than 200 years. Hundreds of protests.
Yeah, that's what happened. Something I never thought I'd see. And, you know, we were around 9/11. I worked, you might have as well, Lieutenant, at the, the Rodney King riots. And then OJ, we even had riots dealing with that. You know, we've seen these things. And you can see very quickly how a mob, even if it's righteous indignation about something, it can turn ugly because a angry mob has no conscience. It can turn ugly like that in a split second. And when you have agitators that know this, that's their whole purpose in life, is to turn it into something to their ends. And so this was horrible. And we saw over and over these officers heroically, horrifically understaffed, horrifically ill-prepared based on leadership.
Yeah, it wasn't the officers'
thank you.
Fault.
Because the officers were, the rank and file, have been hailed heroes. And yet, and you know what I do? You know what I do, Jason? Every time there's something like this, I watch two news networks, don't I? And you think I'm insane for watching CNN, but I do. I watch CNN, and then I watch Fox. And it gives me a more of a out-of-the-bubble perspective. And I could not believe what I was hearing on CNN. And even Fox, because even Fox had a segment where they threw police down.
Explain the back-footed posture that was assumed on Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that the leadership of the Capitol Police set the rank and file up for failure. There were 98.9% of the Capitol Police did a hell of a job. They did their job, but they had no backup. And they had no preparation for what was to come because their leadership did not have them ready. And this was a team that went on the field and played hard, but their coaches put them in a terrible, terrible position to the point where they were getting bum-rushed. Now, again, you watch those videos. These were violent people. They were knocking down doors, pushing themselves through. I think they found a number of people with guns. They're up to a couple hundred arrests, I think, at this point, with more to come. But these were people who had no concern for law and order, no concern for the dignity of our democracy.
You are correct that some of them did act that way. I've seen video, however, Congressman, today, where Capitol Police are holding the door for them, and some of them escort them up the stairs under the dome. Make sense of that.
It's insane. And we're going back and we're reviewing all the footage. And I want to be very clear. I think the vast majority of the people who voted for Donald Trump find this appalling. I think the vast majority of people who supported him don't agree with violence, don't agree with what's happening, and I think in a lot of ways don't agree with what Donald Trump is doing. But there is this hardcore group that did this, and the mistakes like the one you just mentioned, and we will be reviewing all of that footage. As you know, you get a lot of it today because of the cameras and phones.
Darren, that soundbite highlights one of the main problems that we have in the media.
Yes.
I think I recognize that voice. I think that was Bill Hemmer.
It was. And that's Fox.
Who is a, I've known him to be, seem like a pretty good guy.
Yes.
When he made that comment about he saw an officer leading rioters up the stairs, he jumped to a conclusion. That police officer was leading them toward,
he was leading them
toward something innocuous and away from the still unlocked Senate chamber.
He saved those people.
So you have a person in the media that millions of people at the time were listening to, and he straight up lied to all of us.
He didn't lie, he presumed.
Which is a lie, though.
It's false.
It's not true.
Yeah.
What that officer did. And so right away, what are we all going to think that the officer, and Darren, right now, I don't know if you know this, but the FBI has said they currently are investigating between 10 and 15 officers for, I don't know if actively participating. I don't know if they knew about it beforehand. I'll tell you what, if I knew that my chief had asked for additional assistance from DC Metro, from the National Guard, and the Sergeant at Arms of the House, who has now been fired, the Sergeant of Arms of the Senate, who has now been fired, both declined their request. If I was one of the low-level patrol officers standing on the steps and thousands of people were coming at me, I guarantee you I would have done the same thing. I would have held the door open and been like, what am I going to do? What are you going to do with a baton with 1,000 people?
And but again, we don't know what that footage was.
I don't care that you have a job that...
We don't know that footage that you're talking about. It's, in a sense, kind of like the footage of that officer walking
right
backwards, being backed up. He was with a mob of, what, maybe 15 to 20 people, angry, violent, maybe yeah. more. You're right. That's what we can see coming up the stairs. And he valiantly grabs a baton that's been on the ground. Who knows how that baton got on the ground. He's then trying to stop the mob. They're backstepping him. This is not what this good, normally a valid talking head on the news, Fox News, is referring to. This was a heroic act that he completely misconstrued it. He completely did. So now you take, this is Fox. Now what I saw on CNN was horrific. They kept talking about a double standard. They had sound bites from the vice president-elect who said that she literally said, you saw two systems of justice. First of all, it's not system of justice. Second of all, you can't compare them because it's apples and oranges or apples and kangaroos. You're talking about a one-time incident of violence compared to the BLM riots of 7 months worth of untold amount of injuries, 2,000 officers injured. You can't compare them because they're one's, I hate to use the word isolated, but it's a single event. The other is monstrous across the country.
Massive destruction.
Yes. Yeah. And there are sound bites that absolutely came from, again, the vice president-elect on CNN, played over and over, because, again, it riles their audience, and talked about how the police let them in the building. Now, these videos we see where you do see some videos of officers standing by, we don't know if they're security guards. We don't know if that's a allowed area to go in. We don't know, but we also see, thankfully, on other networks, the guns, the shootings. We see all this, and this is now from our president-elect.
Very targeted. The largest target was 9/11 and the buildings. Well, right down to blowing up, you know, a bomb going off in the Capitol when I was there, two policemen. But the idea that thousands of people could be marching up the steps of the United States Capitol, breaking windows, breaking doors, forcing their way in, stepping aside, and the photographs of, well, I don't know what the circumstances, the photograph of it looked like you had some of the Capitol Police taking selfies with these people. That has to be thoroughly investigated.
Shut the fuck up.
The authorities responsible have to be held accountable.
I knew that was going to rile
up. You got to be kidding me. How do you say that?
Exactly. He is literally saying, talking about these violent monsters that breached the Capitol are bashing police officers with pipes and fire extinguishers, and then he segues seamlessly into, and then these officers taking selfies with these people. Really? You know that for a fact? And he supposedly clarified by saying, I don't know the circumstances. Then why are you talking about it?
Because he's got his fact checkers.
But then he segues seamlessly into, I'm not the president of blue states and red states. I'm a president for the United States.
I want to unite.
No, he's not.
I want to unite.
He doesn't like law enforcement. This is the guy who just yesterday declared that the stimulus checks and how they're going to be distributed, he made it a race issue. He is not wanting to unify, but yet he'll say he is. You have Bill Hemmer, who, and Darren, I respect what you're saying. He presuming something when you have
no information.
An audience of millions and millions of people, that is a lie, and it will make people
reckless.
It will make people, once you hear it, it cannot be unheard.
Yeah, now you think some officer was
so Fox was lying. CNN was actively cheering this on and loving every minute of it when all summer long they were downplaying. And you know, maybe I'm naive to say this. I understand the Capitol, it's the symbol of our democracy. I understand that part of it. But I don't think that breaking a window at the Capitol and having weapons on you is any different than breaking a window at a police station, a federal building, or a private business in Minneapolis or Portland. Yet the media and the politicians are saying that there's a difference. No, there is not. Violence is violence, and it has to be stopped, and it's not going to stop. When I talk about civil war, this is what I'm talking about. Our incoming president made that comment. Our incoming vice president, there is a clip from her over the summer, and 2 points that she, this is so sad and disgusting to me. This woman made it a point to say that these riots, these protesters, have a right to do what they're doing, and we should all take note because it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop before November 3rd. It's not going to stop after November 3rd, and it should not stop. And then she took it a step further and was bailing people out of jail. Can you imagine
the rioters
right now? And I'll pick who's the crazy rich guy that just died yesterday that owned the casino, Adelson.
Yeah.
He was a huge conservative donor. Now imagine if he was still alive and was bailing out these people who stormed the Capitol. What do you think CNN would say about that? But our incoming vice president did that over the summer, and nobody's going to be able to convince me there's a difference. I don't care what the reason is. If you don't like the outcome of the election, if you don't like the way police are doing something, a protest that erupts into violence where businesses, private homes, our state capital is getting damaged, and lives are being lost or permanently injured, there is no difference to me, and it's not going to stop because CNN, Fox, and our politicians, whether it's Trump or Biden, and then on down, they don't want it to stop because it's the only way that they can take a step up and move on. Make no mistake about it. What happened last week is incredibly horrible. It destroyed Trump's legacy. The Republican Party is fractured now. But on the other side of it, CNN, our incoming president, I guarantee you that they loved every minute of what they saw. Loved it. The death of Brian Sicknick, while it breaks our heart, I promise you, Joe Biden and all of his people love that Brian Sicknick is dead. And that is enough to just end all discussion of what's going to happen next.
You know, we've had 100 shows. We could do another 100 shows and not even tap into the atrocities that occurred over 7 months, where the BOM, it got out of hand. What should have been a peaceful protest wasn't. 100 straight days in Portland, violence night after night, the Chaz with the taking over a police station, Portland taking over a police station, the fire of the federal courthouse, trying to burn people alive, trying to burn police officers alive. We could do 100 shows and still not fully capture the horrific nature. But the one thing that we really need to talk about is at that time, during that period of time, those riots, you had one congresswoman after the next, the squad. You had the political candidates at that time. They weren't Vice President-elect Harris. It was the pundits weighing in about it's okay to be frustrated. They have their right to be frustrated. They have the right to have a voice. We had congressmen literally say, I like the unruliness in the streets because otherwise we would not have this attention. You don't get to say those things because you're creating this atmosphere of unlawfulness, and it spreads, it's contagion. And if you allow it for one group, you've just opened door for the other group. And that's what we had. Now, everybody has a collective voice saying, this was horrific, this was bad. There's no however, there's no but. The problem is that the media, because there's this collective agreement, they still got to make news. They still have to have that clickbait.
That's not news.
And so their clickbait is police. And that's why they throw down police. That's why CNN kept talking about a double standard with police. They didn't say that these police were victims. To me, and this is what I said on my podcast, on the show I was on, it's victim bashing. When you talk about a victim of a rape who comes home and a mother or father say something stupid like, well, what were you wearing? Were you drinking? Why were you out? That's victim bashing. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're doing right now when they talk about police. When they start immediately pointing a finger at police, instead of the insurgents, instead of these monsters, instead of 7 months ago when congresswomen were saying it's okay to be unruly, That is part of where we are today. And that, my friend, is a double standard.
Well, CNN doesn't think police can be victims. They think that police are criminals. They think they are monsters. They're murderers. AOC says it all the time. And again, this is goes to the heart of the problem in politics. You have somebody win an election in a small, you know, district in some state, and now all of a sudden they know better than everybody. But the politicians in this country, every single one of them, I would call them mentally ill, except it's offensive to people with real mental illness.
Be fair to them.
All
these
politicians in the country today, all of them care about getting a vote. They do not care about your life, your checking account, your family, your home, your business. They don't care. It is the most absurd thing that I have ever seen.
Let no crisis go wasted.
Don't waste a good crisis. Jesus Christ. It's there's just no way to put a positive spin on this. It is a terrible thing what happened. I do hope in the interest of justice that these individuals are prosecuted to the fullest extent. I don't have a lot of faith in the FBI right now. Again, I think there's a lot of great field agents out there. There's thousands of great field agents. I think that
over 170 arrests.
I think that Comey destroyed that organization. For it'll take decades to get
it's rotten on the top.
And I hope that they do follow through. I hope that they do prosecute these people to the fullest extent, and they need to be even Darren made examples of. Like, I mean, these people, the guy from here in Arizona wearing the horns,
Buffalo Boy.
I mean, he needs to spend, if it's up to me, if I was king of the world, he'd be in jail for the rest of his life.
And I don't know
if there's a crime he could be charged with that will be. And then the investigation into the shooting.
The murder.
The woman who died crawling through the window. Yeah. I don't know if deadly force was. It's on video.
Yeah.
And we can all make our own judgments
on
that.
She broke in.
But exactly. And I know she was an Air Force veteran, and why she was the one who got shot, I don't know why that officer made that decision, but it needs to be investigated. Nobody needs to assume
or lie about it. I'm shocked more people didn't die.
Well,
I mean, really, when you have 1,000 people breaching the Capitol and you're saving these congressmen and congresswomen, I'm surprised more people weren't. That's to the valiancy of the valiant and courageous, heroic acts of those police officers to be able to really.
Well, and I'll tell you why most people, because the majority of the people who broke in and were these violent protesters, they're all cowards. So they're not willing to truly get into it and risk their lives or take other people's lives. So five people's enough. Jesus Christ, now I'm sick to my stomach. So thanks, Darren. And I'm sure next week, unfortunately, in the next 7 days,
there'll be a new crisis.
Something will happen, and we'll be sitting here talking about it.
Yep.
We'll be right back with Stupid Suspects, our heroic headline, and our close. Come on back.
More stories, inside guests, and true blue humor coming up on Badge Boys. We'll be back right after this.
I remember the moment. I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Move over, AZ. Arizona's move over law requires you to move over or slow down when you drive past any vehicle pulled over with flashing lights. Remember, every vehicle, every time. Move over, AZ.
Sponsored by ADOT in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Badge Boys with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Now, back to the Badge Boys.
Welcome back to Badge Boys, everybody. Brought to you by OfficerPrivacy.com. And don't forget, OfficerPrivacy.com/Badge Boys, and you will get the best deal out there and the highest level of security. So if you're listening to the show, I'm not putting this on social media. You don't get to just cheat and read my posts and get a deal. You got to listen to the show to hear that part. We are going to take a breather and make me smile because we're going to talk about
good juju.
One of my best friends.
Yes, this is a very, very interesting Dumb de Blasio report. We have a Dumb de Blasio kudos.
Hey.
Yes. How can that be? How can Dumb de Blasio have some kind of kudos? Well, you'll find out. From infamously killing a groundhog during Groundhog Day photo op to this ludicrous COVID-19 sex safety tips detailing better safe anal sexual instructions on the city website, we now have someone who's even dumber than Dumb de Blasio. Mayor Bill de Blasio slammed Governor Andrew Cuomo for his plan to fine hospitals as a means of speeding up the state's highly criticized slow vaccine rollout, which he himself is responsible for, and also for the governor's decision not to provide the vaccine to police. Yep, you heard right. Mayor Bill de Blasio was actually the voice of reason, helping police, calling out Governor Cuomo for not including the police in the rollout for the vaccine. But even worse, Governor Cuomo made hospitals administer the vaccine through a failed website appointment system. Yeah, due to a flawed online registration, massive amounts of appointments were missed, resulting in clinics being forced to throw away the good vaccines rather than risk millions of dollars in fines for administering them to the folks in need, but out of order. By law, the hospitals could not use the vaccine on some other person in need, as they mistakenly vaccinated someone who was later found to be ineligible, like a cop or a 75-year-old person. That health provider would be fined $1 million and lose the state license for that provider. Now, in comparison purposes, in a single day, Israel, with a similar size population, has immunized more people against COVID-19 than New York has in an entire month that they've had the vaccine. So the Dumb COVID-19 Governor Emmy Award goes to Governor Cuomo, who is responsible for countless dead senior citizens after forcing COVID-sick patients back into the care homes, for the destruction of countless vials, maybe close to a million, of the life-saving vaccine, for threatening healthcare heroes with fines if they don't throw away the vaccine, and for delaying vaccines to police officers, whom in Phoenix have a higher rate of COVID-19 illnesses than firefighters. So to recap, Governor Cuomo, you are even dumber than Mayor Dumb de Blasio for transforming the Big Apple into a COVID rotten apple. So with no due respect, sir, you are a dumbass.
That takes effort.
Wow.
Right?
That takes effort.
Yeah. Yeah. Bar is pretty high.
This week's heroic headline, Darren, for me, I want to share a story that just happened on January 11th. A Hillsborough County deputy was killed on Monday after a suspect intentionally rammed into his patrol vehicle while fleeing from other officers. The sheriff's office identified Master Corporal Brian Levine, 54 years old, intentionally ran into, so he was murdered. He did not simply die in a car crash, but the reason I want to highlight him as our hero this week is not for the way he died, but for the way he lived, because he was one day from retirement.
Oh.
He was on his second to last shift when he was murdered, and
that
puts into perspective, you know, he went to work that day probably excited. You know, he had plans for a retirement party. He had plans for this weekend.
Well-deserved retirement.
Yeah, but he spent his whole career. We talked to Lieutenant James in our first segment, 25 years. He understands what it's like. You understand what it's like to go that long. I had a much shorter career. But when you get to the end like that, it's like, you know what? I did it. I made it. And then in just that quick, your life is still on the line. And so he's a hero for the way he lived and for how he served his county and his sheriff's department. And God bless his
rest in peace.
God bless his family.
That is heartbreaking.
The inspirational close, this one's going to be a little long, and we're going to go back to highlighting Officer Brian Sicknick. I think his name should be said often and loudly, but this is inspirational to me because it puts into perspective not only the dangers and why we all have to do better, but we're all still human beings. We all still wake up every day wanting to live our lives and make something better for ourselves and people around us. Well, the media and the politicians don't, but the rest of us do. All we have to do is go outside and look at our neighbors, and we understand that. Police Officer Brian Sicknick, who died after the assault on the Capitol, he protected with a kind touch. He supported Donald Trump. She supported Hillary Clinton. But in the midst of the 2016 election, Officer Sicknick, who was with the Capitol Police at the time, and Caroline Berenger, an advisor for a liberal congresswoman, found some common ground, and they were friends. They met mornings at an entrance at the Capitol, she heading to her office, he protecting those doing the people's work. They chatted about unwinding in the outdoors and joked about being on opposite sides of the political divide that is tearing this nation apart. There was a shared humanity, Berenger said, noting, "My job was very much dependent on him keeping me safe." Officer Sicknick, who was a 12-year veteran, was murdered during that riot after he physically engaged with the mob that broke into the Capitol. Homicide detectives from the D.C. Police Department have taken charge of his investigation. Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen said in a statement that Sicknick died of the injuries he suffered defending the U.S. Capitol against the violent mob who struck there on January 6th. Rosen added that both the FBI and the D.C. police will jointly investigate this case, and the Department of Justice will spare no resources in investigating and holding the perpetrators accountable. Sicknick's father said rioters overpowered Capitol Police and his son was pepper sprayed, hit in the head. It's on video, which is just horrible for the family to have to watch, but it's good for investigators. Ambulance crews did get him resuscitated twice, rushed him to a nearby hospital. He died the next day. A family statement added that Brian is a hero, and that is what we would like for people to remember. The White House issued a statement Thursday before he died saying that it grieves the loss of life and also for the officer that committed suicide the next day. Five people in total died, and flags at the U.S. Capitol were flown at half staff on his behalf. A family statement says that Sicknick was the youngest of three brothers, grew up in New Brunswick, and earned a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. He rescued dachshunds and loved the New Jersey Devils hockey team. Yes. Just a human being. Loved animals, loved his sports. Sicknick's family said he wanted to be a police officer for his entire life. He was one of three brothers. He joined the New Jersey National Guard as a means to the end of getting to be a police officer, and he joined the National Guard after the attacks on 9/11.
What a hero.
He served his country very well on all levels. He was not on a political side, with how he chose his friends and who he chose to protect. And that inspires me to know that there are examples of people who do better every day, and we should use people like that as an example. So
truly an inspiration
to Officer Brian Sicknick and his family and everybody else who was injured and scared that day. God bless all of you. Please come back next week, and do not forget officerprivacy.com/badgeboys. You have got to sign up for this service. Protect yourself, protect people that you love. It means everything. And thank you to officerprivacy.com for joining us, being our sponsor, and for Lieutenant James being a guest on our show today. Darren, as always, way to go.
You just knocked it out of ballpark.
Amazing. So God bless all of you. We will see you next week.
Batch Boys. Thanks for listening to Batch Boys. Stories, insights, guests, and true blue humor with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Batch Boys, heard weekly and worldwide on Star Worldwide Networks and all mobile devices. Batch Boys.